What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
The process of doing research is just in and of itself so, so valuable. I can't emphasize enough how much resilience is, that's something I've learned. And I really want to emphasize, research is going to be hard for everybody. There's going to be challenges. You're going to face challenges. But knowing that you're capable of overcoming them and making sure that you have a support system to fall back on, that the importance of that cannot be overstated. My family, my friends, my mentors along the way, I've been able to go to all of them and, you know, just sometimes talking, blowing off steam from whatever the problem is.
That is Jillian Pollan, a Goldwater Scholar who graduated with a bachelor's degree in astronomy physics from Colgate University in New York. Hello, I'm your host, Venkatraman. Jillian was an ambitious and competitive high schooler. She was very interested in science and music. She spent her sophomore and junior summers at Harvard and Brown, studying astro and quantum mechanics. But Jillian knew from a very young age that she wanted to do something with astronomy in college. Jillian joins our podcast to share her journey through Colgate University, her interest in astronomy, winning the Goldwater Scholarship, dark matter research, and her advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
Colgate does this really special thing with all of its accepted students. They really make accepted students' days very special. You sign up in small groups. So I had the opportunity to ask all of the questions I even wanted, and they actually took the extra effort to let me speak with some of the astronomy faculty, because I already went in knowing I was interested in astronomy. So, and I was also really lucky. I mentioned before I was part of the scholars program called Alumni Memorial Scholars.
Yeah,
I met my closest friends through that program. Actually, before we even started classes, they took the specific scholars program, whitewater rafting in upstate New York near the Canadian border. And I loved that. That was a lot of fun. One of the professors in particular, his research really caught my eye because he was studying dark matter. And to me, that was a very, very exciting concept. Dark matter it's very elusive. And, you know, as I mentioned before, I was always really sort of attracted to these very deep space objects, things that are mysterious that we're not going to encounter every day or even necessarily looking at the night sky. I think it's boosted my credibility as an aspiring astrophysicist and early career researcher. I remember, so I won an undergraduate student paper prize through the Astronomical Society of New York. And as I was being introduced to give my prize talk, one person said, "Oh, we have a Goldwater Scholar among us." So there's definitely, it carries with it sort of a sense of respect. And oh, this person is serious, serious about what they're doing. Definitely number one on the list is make sure you can find good mentors who will give you good advice and are willing to listen to you. So if you're in high school right now, maybe talk to your favorite teachers. Maybe they're your favorite teachers for a reason. They could be teaching you your favorite subject. And tell them about your goals and your plans. And they might have some suggestions that you never would have thought of.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Jillian. So without further ado, here is Jillian Pollan.
If you're ready, we can get started.
Yeah, let's go.
Awesome.
So I think the best place to start would be to talk a little bit about your undergraduate experience at Colgate. Maybe we start there.
Sure. Yeah. So I attended Colgate. I started in fall 2019, and I just graduated this May 2023. I was an astronomy physics major and an applied mathematics minor.
So why did you pick Colgate?
Yeah, so that was a really obvious choice after I visited, but it, certainly the visit made all the difference for me. I really loved the community there. And actually, let me describe my visit for a little bit. So Colgate does this really special thing with all of its accepted students. They really make accepted students' days very special. You sign up in small groups. So I had the opportunity to ask all of the questions I even wanted, and they actually took the extra effort to let me speak with some of the astronomy faculty, because I already went in knowing I was interested in astronomy. So on the spot, they actually arranged for me to meet with some of the people that eventually became my professors, which was absolutely amazing. And they also, when I came into this accepted students day, they already knew who I was and some information about me. So I really, truly felt like I was valued there, and I felt like a person and not a number. And that, for me, was very, very important in my college decision. The finances also worked out fabulously. When I was accepted, I was accepted also into a scholars program called the Alumni Memorial Scholars Program. And being in this program allowed me to graduate debt-free and opened up some funding resources, which allowed me to attend conferences and really delve more into the research that I was interested in. I also really liked that it's a liberal arts school. So I didn't have to only learn physics. I also learned about a variety of things through our core curriculum. So I learned about Russia and music history, poetry, economics, comparative politics. And it really opened my eyes to not only just astrophysics, but it was the perfect choice for me. That's exactly what I wanted out of my education.
So tell us a little bit about your high school then. What kind of interest did you have? What kind of person you were? And maybe also where the interest in astronomy came from.
Yeah, absolutely. I would describe my high school self as really ambitious, maybe a little competitive, and very busy. I had a really heavy involvement in music at the time too. I actually sort of briefly considered going into music, but it was also always obvious to me that physics and astronomy was the right pathway for me. But I was involved in several orchestras competitively as well. I made it to the Connecticut All-State Festival, which was really exciting, an exciting way to cap off my senior year. I was involved in honor societies, so I did a lot of peer tutoring. One thing that I also did was established our school chapter of an honor society called Mu Alpha Theta, which is the National Math Honor Society. We didn't have that at my high school, but I worked with one of the faculty in the math department there, and we brought it, which was really fun. And I always knew I wanted to do science of some sort, and definitely my high school science teachers, maybe especially my high school chemistry teacher, really encouraged me along the way. And I remember him saying to me, I can see that you're very interested in science. You're taking this very seriously, but you also need to show colleges that you want to apply to just how invested you are. So I actually then ended up applying for some high school summer programs. And the summer after my sophomore year, I spent 2 weeks at Harvard doing an introductory astro course, and I did a similar thing the summer after my junior year, but at Brown, and that was quantum mechanics and the nature of reality. And that was really interesting because it intersected philosophy with physics.
Where did astronomy come in then in school?
Certainly. So I never actually took an astronomy course in school, but that was something that I was always really interested in from a young age. I remember growing up, I had a lot of children's atlases about astronomy. I had a lot of children's books. It's just something I naturally gravitated towards. And I remember my favorite section of this children's atlas on astronomy. I don't remember the exact title, unfortunately. It was on deep space. I really liked the idea of being able to learn about things that we can't see just with our naked eye, and things that we need really high power telescopes for, things that we'll never be able to touch and experience in our everyday life. That was absolutely fascinating to me. And I asked for my first telescope when I was in second grade, and I'm very grateful my family was able to get one for me. And my uncle was a big inspiration too. He would come over to our house with copies of Sky and Telescope magazine and Astronomy magazine, and we would just look at the little articles together. And he taught me how to find constellations. So it's kind of just always been the subject that captured my interest and that I just kept coming back to all the time. And even though I really enjoyed my high school chemistry class, I briefly considered other areas of science, but it was always very clear to me I wanted to study space for a living.
Okay, so let's transition to college. How was that transition from high school to Colgate? What did you go through? How were the academics?
Certainly there was a little bit of an adjustment period, but I think that's completely normal. Mm-hmm. My first semester, I only took one physics course, one math course, and the other two were sort of liberal arts. Mm-hmm. And I think because even in high school, I already knew I really wanted to heavily focus in science, maybe I was a little bit less prepared for the more essay-based courses, but I think taking them definitely helped me to improve my writing a lot. Because in high school, I never took AP English. I did take honors level English, but the AP courses I had taken were Spanish, Calculus BC, Physics 1, Physics 2, and Chemistry. Mm-hmm. So very, very heavy emphasis on the STEM courses there. So I think I was pretty well prepared for my introductory physics courses, for sure. It's completely normal to have a sort of adjustment period. And I was also really lucky. I mentioned before I was part of the scholars program called Alumni Memorial Scholars.
Yeah.
I met my closest friends through that program. Actually, before we even started classes, they took the specific scholars program, whitewater rafting in upstate New York near the Canadian border. And I loved that. That was a lot of fun. And events like that were how I met my closest friends, who I'm still in touch with, of course.
How were the teaching? How were the classes?
Something I really loved about Colgate is there is an emphasis on small class sizes. Mm-hmm. I feel like I learned best in that sort of environment. Mm-hmm. Definitely the more humanities-based classes, there's a lot of discussion, but I would say the same is even true for my physics classes. We did have a big lecture that then split off into separate recitations, and that's where we would get to talk to each other and work through problem sets. I would say also the Colgate faculty they really want to get to know their students well, and they're so supportive. Definitely it was a really healthy community and learning environment. I was never afraid to ask them for help if I needed it or to ask my peers for help. And I think even at an early age, I had a lot of very, very valuable mentors and professors that I was able to find. And that was so important to becoming successful in college.
So let's segue over to research. How did you get into undergraduate research? Oh, one question before we move any further. Did you do any research while you were in high school at all, or were you, it was something that you discovered in college?
So I had taken a course called science research, but it was very different, I would say, than actually doing research with an advisor. I was interested in quasars, so I did a small project about the variability of quasars, because these are very, very bright objects that vary over time. I wouldn't say it was exactly the same, but it did teach me a little bit about maybe how to go about reading papers and how to put together a presentation. But I would also say what I did in college was very different.
Sure. So how did you get into research in college?
Right. So I always knew I wanted to be a scientist, and the step to becoming that is to learn how to do research very effectively. Mm-hmm. So actually, at the beginning of the semester in the physics department, the faculty actually gave a presentation in one of our very early seminars about what everybody is working on in the department. Mm-hmm. And one of the professors in particular, his research really caught my eye because he was studying dark matter. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was a very, very exciting concept. Dark matter it's very elusive. And, you know, as I mentioned before, I was always really sort of attracted to these very deep space objects, things that are mysterious that we're not going to encounter every day or even necessarily looking at the night sky. Dark matter, just for context, we still don't know what dark matter is, and that's what a lot of research is trying to get to. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of evidence that it exists, so I got to learn a lot of this. And the way I actually got involved was I spoke to this professor, his name is Cosmin Illy, mm-hmm. and I told him, I asked him questions about the research that he was working on, and eventually just more about dark matter in general. And he was very, very willing to answer my questions, and we met up a lot, and he gave me some resources to learn more, an introductory paper on what dark matter is and why we know it exists, and also an introductory textbook on cosmology, and we worked through some of those problems together. There was also another student that was interested in working with him, so we worked together on those problems, and eventually, just my first year there, I applied to work with him over the summer, mm-hmm. and I was accepted, and we ended up doing research. Now, this was also the start of the pandemic, so things were very different, and for a little bit, we weren't sure if we would still be able to do the research, because everybody had to go home, but yeah. Thankfully, because yeah. this is a theoretical project, the only tools we need are our computers.
Yeah.
So we were still able to work together from the summer of 2020, and to this day, we're still collaborators, which is fabulous.
So any exciting outcomes or, I don't want to say success, but anything exciting that you found along the way?
Absolutely. The research in general is pretty exciting because I started so early, I didn't feel pressured right away to return results, and I let myself have time to learn yeah. how to do research and to get sort of familiar with the concepts in my field. Mm-hmm. And that means that starting really my junior year, I started to see a lot of things pick up. So my first paper I published two papers. The first paper I published was on this dark matter capture phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And basically you have some sort of an astrophysical object, so mm-hmm. a star or a planet, and it's sitting around some surrounding dark matter. Mm-hmm. And dark matter capture is just the process by which dark matter gets stuck in these mm-hmm. objects. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can figure out how it's affecting the objects. So with stars, maybe it will contribute to the luminosity or how bright they are.
Yeah.
So that was the essence of my first paper. And what we did was we sent the objects really quickly through these dark matter halos and just saw the math that fell out of that. But I'd say probably my most exciting results didn't happen until this year. Mm-hmm. And that's because we have new technology, which is the James Webb Space Telescope,
yep.
Which has just been so revolutionary. And I'm really glad that I was working on the projects that I was working on at this time. So my research directions sort of shifted a little bit from yeah. just pure dark matter to now something called a dark star, which is still related to dark matter. So dark stars are really, really fascinating objects. They're absolutely monstrous. They're theoretical stars, mm-hmm. which would have been the first stars in the universe, mm-hmm. and they're powered by dark matter annihilations, which is a really fascinating process. And they're actually a million times the mass of the sun. If you can imagine the distance between us and the sun and multiply that by 10, that's how big they are in radius.
Wow.
And a single dark star can shine as bright as an entire galaxy. So being able to work on problems like this, I still find it incredibly fascinating. And actually what we did, I collaborated both with Cosmin, who I mentioned before,
yeah.
and Katie Fries, who is a professor at UT Austin. Mm-hmm. And we identified the first ever candidates for these objects in JWST data. And mm-hmm. that was so exciting. And the paper actually did get a pretty significant amount of press attention. It was just published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in July, which is very, very recent.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and yeah. I think, thank you. Yeah, being involved in research also led to, of course, the ability for me to apply to be a Goldwater Scholar, and I received a regional undergraduate paper prize from the Astronomical Society of New York, and I am currently a finalist for the Leroy Apker Award, which is given by the American Physical Society. Mm-hmm. Don't know the results for that yet, but just being considered a finalist is such an honor. Absolutely. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So you mentioned Goldwater Scholarship. Tell us about that. Why did you apply? Maybe we start there and then we go from there.
Sure. Yeah. So my advisor, Cosmin, first introduced me to the idea of applying to be a Goldwater Scholar. He told me that it existed. And so at the time, I was still working on the Dark Matter Capture Project, mm-hmm. and we were in the process of publishing that paper. Mm-hmm. So he really encouraged me to apply. And at first I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to win this, but it's worth a shot. The worst mm-hmm. case scenario is that they just say no, nothing bad would happen.
Right.
So I just went for it. And I worked really, really hard on that application. I began writing in early fall 2021 and did a lot of revision throughout that application process. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, in 2022, I received the honor, which was so exciting. I remember the day that I received the email saying I won.
Now, did you, in the application, talk about the research that you were doing or what you would like to do? Or how did you sort of apply? Or what did you sort of talk about, I guess, in your application?
Certainly. Yeah, so the application has a lot of components. It's an application specifically for people who want to eventually turn research into a career, mm-hmm. Which is really emphasized. So they ask about what your plans are. And at the time, and still to this day, I'm still interested in going into academia and becoming a professor, mm-hmm. conducting my own research, but also still having interactions with students and being able to teach. So I talked about that, but there's also a component of the application called the research essay, mm-hmm. and that's really the meat. That's the bulk of the application. Mm-hmm. And in that essay, of course, you have to really figure out how to present your work in a way that's understandable by everybody, people mm-hmm. that are outside of your field, because the Goldwater Scholarship, it's not specific to physics. It's for a variety of different sciences. So you really have to, it makes you think about yourself, your future plans,
right.
And how to explain that. And I think something that I really tried to emphasize with this research essay is not only the challenges I faced, but how I overcame them. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to demonstrate that you can work through hard times is so, so crucial. It's a skill that pops up everywhere in life, but especially in research. Is really useful.
Now, why do you think you won the scholarship? What do you think worked in the application?
Yeah, well, definitely I put a lot of effort into the research essay. I read it over and over again. My advisor also read it over before I submitted it. Mm-hmm. And I really focused, as I said, on ways that I've overcome challenges. Mm-hmm. Also something in my initial draft, my advisor pointed out to me, this is your research and mm-hmm. you're not highlighting this enough. So I had to learn how to really take ownership of the work that, yes, I've done this and it's okay to say that I've done this.
Right.
So imposter syndrome is real, but being able to really highlight my individual contributions to the research and show that, it's something that I'm really invested in. was important. And I think I was able to convey that in the essay because I worked really, really hard on it.
What kind of difference has it made ever since you got the scholarship, the Goldwater Scholarship?
Certainly. I think it's boosted my credibility as an aspiring astrophysicist and early career researcher. I remember, I won an undergraduate student paper prize through the Astronomical Society of New York. And as I was being introduced to give my prize talk, one person said, "Oh, we have a Goldwater Scholar among us." So there's definitely, it carries with it sort of a sense of respect. And, oh, this person is serious, serious about what they're doing. And I also really think it helps with my PhD applications and eventually being selected as a finalist for the Leroy Apker Award.
Let's seg a little bit to your major. Mm-hmm. I guess at this point, physics and astronomy is not a surprise. Now, were there any questions along the way? Did you waver, or was that something that you decided early on and kind of just stuck with it?
For me, it was, I really knew pretty early on. Although I will say maybe in my freshman year before I had joined a research group for the first time, the only thing I was debating was, do I want to be a pure physics major or an astrophysics major? So I waited until I had taken my first astronomy course. It was always going to be astronomy. And I think I knew that in the back of my mind. But there are definitely questions in pure physics that I did also find interesting at the time, too.
So now I know that you're heading off. Have you already started your PhD program? You're just about to.
Yes, I have. This was our first week of classes.
Okay, and that's at Penn, right? UPenn, right? Tell us how research has shaped your career now, so to speak, educational career at least. Obviously, there are classes and academics, but how has research, you think, played a role in shaping that?
Absolutely. Well, research is definitely what I'm most passionate about. Certainly in my senior year of college, I started to get a little bit tired of taking classes and all I wanted to do was research. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly a normal thing to feel in a graduate program. Yeah. And actually at the graduate level, courses begin to be a little bit less important. Not right now for me, because I am a first year. So instead of taking a qualifying exam here, we have to pass a certain set of courses. So that is my priority right now. Research is definitely the most fun. But in terms of education, I think the process of doing research is just in and of itself so, so valuable. I can't emphasize enough how much resilience is... that's something I've learned. And I really want to emphasize, research is going to be hard for everybody. There's going to be challenges. You're going to face challenges. But knowing that you're capable of overcoming them and making sure that you have a support system to fall back on, that the importance of that cannot be overstated. My family, my friends, my mentors along the way, I've been able to go to all of them and, you know, just sometimes talking, blowing off steam from whatever the problem is.
Sure.
And also, failure and rejection does happen. I've faced my fair share of rejection and failure along the way. I mean, with my PhD applications, I was accepted to 4 schools, which I'm so, so grateful for. And they were all fabulous programs. But I was also rejected from 10. That's completely normal. And I would say never take rejection personally. I'll also say my first paper was rejected from the first journal that we submitted it to, but it was accepted to the second. So it's a matter of just continuing to try and knowing that rejection doesn't mean that you are a bad researcher or that your research is bad. It's just maybe it's not the right fit or, it's just never take rejection personally. I'd also say that research really taught me how to communicate and write in different ways. So I've attended 8 different conferences at which I presented, which is actually quite a high number for an undergraduate career. But as I said, I had the funding through my scholars program, and also my undergraduate advisor really encouraged us to attend conferences as much as we could, which is so important. But I've had to learn how to cater presentations to a wide variety of different audiences. And I've given talks that range anywhere from 5 to 45 minutes long. And it really changes how you think about things. And communication is equally as important as the research itself. If you understand something, but you can't tell somebody about it, then it's useless. It's not going to get anywhere.
I'm going to move over to asking you for some advice for high schoolers as they think about college and think about applying to colleges, but also being in different colleges, and also about research, how they might want to think about research. Anything that you've learned that you can share?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely number one on the list is make sure you can find good mentors who will give you good advice. And are willing to listen to you. So if you're in high school right now, maybe talk to your favorite teachers. Maybe they're your favorite teachers for a reason. They could be teaching you your favorite subject. And tell them about your goals and your plans. And they might have some suggestions that you never would have thought of. Definitely also visit colleges early. I made the mistake of waiting until my spring break during my senior year of high school to visit all the places I was accepted to, which was a little hectic. Visiting is so important. That's what sold me on Colgate, and I don't think I could have ended up at a better program anywhere in the world. I'm incredibly grateful to have gone there. There was another school that I was very strongly considering. I'm not going to mention what it is, but they were closer to home, and I liked that idea. But when I visited, I felt more like a number than I did at Colgate. So interacting with the people that are there is just so important. I would also say, look up what colleges may be expecting or looking for in your application. It's usually somewhere on the college website. And if you already know that you're interested in research, like I was, definitely don't hesitate to reach out. Faculty absolutely love talking about their research, is what I found. The earlier you start and can have these conversations and make these connections, the better, because you'll have time to explore different fields and you'll have time to learn how to do research. Maybe you won't feel pressured to turn out those good results so quickly. Definitely give yourself room to fall, but get back up. I think probably the most confusing thing then is, okay, you know you're interested in research, but how do you know who to reach out to? That can be a little bit overwhelming. So one thing you could do is just either paying attention to the news. A lot of science articles are inherently based on research that's been published in journals or interviews with people that are working on these things. So that's one way that you can figure out, you know, who's working on what. But also, at the same time, people that are, you know, really in the public eye in science may be too busy. So don't take it personally if people don't respond to you either. They probably just have a lot on their plate. So something else you can do, especially at smaller colleges, is go to the department-specific website and read the bios of the people that work there, because they'll usually mention their research somewhere there. Or sometimes there's even a tab that says research on the department website. And that's a great place to find a summary of what everybody does.
So now, Jillian, we are going to start winding down. But before I let you go, I'd love for you to share some fond memory or two from your undergraduate years, something that you think people might relate to or might just have been fun for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So any time that I got to spend with my friends was really fun. Even when we were busy, we always found a way to make each other laugh. And making sure that you have time to do that is so important, especially my senior roommates. They're wonderful people. But in general, I think it's really fun to talk about Colgate-specific traditions. So for context, Colgate, it's a beautiful campus. It sits at the top of a hill. So our freshman year before we started classes, we all walked up the hill together as a class and entered the chapel, which is probably the most recognizable building on campus. And that's where we were welcomed into the university. But then we mirrored that at our graduation. So a couple of days before our graduation, we have something called the torchlight ceremony. And what's really beautiful is now we all walk down the hill as a class, but we're carrying lit torches, which is supposed to symbolize the knowledge that we gained during our time at Colgate. And we're going out into the world, sort of spreading this knowledge, which I just think is a really, really beautiful thing. We also had something called Senior Sunset, where the president of the college had an event sort of outside his house on the top of the hill. And we just watched the sunset together, listened to music, got to talk with friends. And that was just really, really special. And yeah, really, really characteristic of what makes Colgate the place that it is.
Awesome. Awesome. Great story. Great memory. So Jillian, I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing your experiences with us. I'm sure we'll talk more, and I wish you all the luck at Penn and beyond. So take care, be safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Jillian Pollan on her undergraduate journey at Colgate. Jillian entered college with a clear goal of pursuing astronomy. Her research in dark matter and later dark star cemented her interest in deep space. She applied and won the Goldwater Scholarship, which boosted her credibility both as a budding astrophysicist and a researcher. She is pursuing a PhD in physics and astronomy now at the University of Pennsylvania. I hope Jillian's drive and passion inspires you as you consider your own college journey. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.